Hey, good morning, Victory. How you doing? Come on, put your hands together. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. My name is Troy. My wife, Darla, and I get the amazing privilege to pastor this church. And if you are visiting with us, as Mark and Brian have said, we want to do the best to get you connected. And there's just so much happening, from this church picnic to the Purple Book class, which is just phenomenal for discipleship, to all the men's events, so many different things. And so you really have no excuse to get connected and to be able to find people and kind of build that family. Also love to always say thank you to every person that's giving financially through giving or through tithing and offering. Able to do so much. We've been sharing about the $25,000 that we've raised for Bibles. Come on, put your hands together for that. It's incredible. And so in a couple of weeks, we'll be sending some of those off to the Congo. We just agreed to send some to Men of Valor, and we're working with some areas, other areas, and we're going to share in the next couple of weeks, so it's just incredible. Next Sunday is a special day, and you will have a special guest speaker. Check this out right here. Show you who your guest speaker is. She's going to come over here on this side. I kind of surprised them a little bit. They weren't quite ready for that. But there we go right there. Yeah! Miss Darla in the building, y'all. Miss Darla. For every lady in the house, we're going to have a special gift for you. It's going to be an incredible day, so you do not want to miss it. Bring your sister, bring your mom, bring your daughter, bring everybody, and be in this place for just a great time together. Amen?
Amen.
Before we get in the message today, we are honoring our graduates. All right. So, at this time, if you've registered for our graduate ceremony, if you'll just come stand right down here in front of me, we just want to invite you, let the church look at you for a second. And so we're going to have kind of pictures coming across so that I can explain a little bit. Go ahead and give us our first graduate in the building here, Aiden. All right. And we've asked for a little bit of information about what they're going next. And he's got the Army National Guard ahead of him. All right. All right. So let's see our next graduate. Here we go. And Genesis Hogwood, Motlow Community College, to pursue career in healthcare. All right. I've asked Gigi to pay all my bills, so that's why she's doing that. All right. Next graduate, Naya McKinley. Oh, another Motlow Community College to pursue career in health. Is that right? No, just kidding. We didn't change that.
I'm taking a gap year and then I'll go.
Then, okay. All right. Put your hands together for that. Here we go. All right, let's see. Next, Amira. So in case y'all don't know this, Amira and her family, they actually currently live in Clarksville. And so she'll be going to Austin Peay State University, majoring in psychology. Come on. Come on. All right, next up, we should have Melissa Purington. Melissa will be pursuing a photography career. I think she's already helping out our very own Tay Lewis, who's involved with The Voice right now. And then we got one that wasn't able to be here today because she's currently doing her graduation. Morgan Smith, come on, put your hands together. Audiologist at ENT in Lebanon. So she's currently in that process of graduating. So do me a favor real quick. If y'all turn and look at me for a second, I just kind of wanted to share. This is an important time, I think, for you and for your mindset. There's a certain part in Scripture that's very passionate for me, where it's a whole concept where Jesus is in the wilderness and he's being tempted by the devil. And y'all know this, y'all have heard me preach on this, where the enemy is giving him truths. And then Jesus comes back and says, that's true, but this is also true. And what you're about to do, this whole concept, all right, you're going into career mode, you're going into eventually, you know, you could be talking about marriage, you could put on kids, just moving on with your life. And there's a lot of dreams and a lot of aspirations right now in your heart. There's a lot of things that you want to do. And it's going to be a lot of time for the enemy to come and tell you that you can't do it. That's going to be his number one message. You can't. You can't do it. And I'm here to tell you right now that you can't. You can't do it on your own. But through Christ, you can. But here's the part that I really want to share with you. There's going to be moments in this frustration where he uses things that are true. There's going to be moments where he tries to get you off that path and off that road, not with lies necessarily, with things that may be true. But there's always the this is also true. There's always the principle and the promise from God that combats against what the enemy is saying. That may be true, but this is also true. And here's what's true, is that God has favor over your life. Amen. That God's put hands on your life and that his plans is to prosper you for good things. You have to stand on that promise. You have to stand on that principle because everything else would try to tell you that it's up to you, right? It's up to your abilities, your talents, your gifts. And I would tell you that while those things are special and while God did assign those things to you, that is not what opens doors for you. That is not what walks you into the pathway that God has for you. It's trusting the Lord. And when we trust God, he opens those doors and understand that he has a purpose and a plan to prosper your life. Amen? I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you because it's not easy, and I know it's not easy. And to be able to do it, and to be able to do it while standing in your faith for God, that's important. I'm proud of you. You need to understand that. And I know I'm not the only one, but I'm so proud of you. I love you, and I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I appreciate what you've done and the way you've held yourself, and I'm excited about what's to come. Amen?
Amen.
Can you reach your hands out just for a moment? We're going to pray over them. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promise. I thank you that when we train a child up in the way that they shall go, you will not depart from it. They will not depart from it. I thank you that whether or not mom and dad feel like they've done well, or whether mom and dad feel like they've set them up well, that it's your word that stands. I thank you that you've already got a plan and a purpose figured out for each one of these graduates. And here's my prayer for them, Father, is that they would lean into what that is. That in times where they're not sure, where there's uncertainty and anxiety, they would stop what they're doing and they would lean into your word. They would lean into your calling, your purpose over their life. If they will just trust you and lean into you, Father, you will guide their path. You will direct their path. And it will be that path of purpose and good and prosper. Let them lean into you, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. All right, real quick, before we give you all a big hand, when y'all turn around and go back to your seat, Chris has got a little gift for you, all right? It's just a $2,000 gift card to McDonald's. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. It was a gift from us just to tell you that we love you, we're proud of you, we appreciate you. Turn around, look at the audience again real quick. Come on, put your hands together one more time. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, guys. You can be seated. So proud of you, excited for you. Man, I've got psychology. I've got my psychologist under wraps. I've got my healthcare under wraps. My National Guard. All you people keep getting careers. I won't need to hire anybody in my life. I'll just let you do it. Amen?
Amen?
It's an exciting thing to be a part of, right? Hey, if you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 16. You can do it in your paper Bible on your phone. It will be above me on the screen, but I'm going to start reading in 2 Peter. But the meat of the message is going to be in Matthew 16, which is where I want you to go ahead and be prepared. We're in a series called Holy and Healthy, and the whole concept is that if we're not careful, we'll be very faithful to church. We'll be very, very faithful to the idea of church and church services and these kind of things, and still potentially be unhealthy. Have great Sunday school attendance, but have an unhealthy marriage, right? Go to church all the time, but have unhealthy finances, and this is happening a lot. And the challenge here is that you and I, if we do it right, if we lean into what God's telling us, can be both holy and healthy. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read you some words from Peter. I'll explain to you why I'm reading this in a moment. This is Peter. He says, "So I will always remind you of these things. Even though you know them and you are firmly established in the truth that you now have, I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body." So Peter's saying, I know you know the truth, but as long as I'm alive, I feel it a responsibility to remind you. This is the calling on my life, that I know you know the truth, but my responsibility, as long as I'm alive, I want to remind you. I want to stir up in you what you know about God. He says, because I know that I will soon put it aside. This body that I have, this tent of my body, I will soon put it aside as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. In other words, Peter's saying, I know at some point I'm going to die. And so I want to be able to remind you as much as I can while I'm still alive. He goes on to say, I'll make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. You'll always be able to remember the goodness of God and the grace of God. For we don't follow, y'all, this is important. We don't follow cleverly devised stories when we've told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power. In other words, he's saying, we're not listening to stories other people said. We're not just taking so-and-so's story. That's not what happened. Watch this. We're eyewitnesses of his majesty. Yeah, that's important. He's saying the truth that we're talking about, the messenger that I am, I'm not coming to you with just stories that I've heard from other people. Peter said, I'm coming to you with an eyewitness testimony. And then he goes on to say, he, talking about Jesus, received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my, everybody say son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. I want to talk to you from this idea this morning. Believing matters. Believing matters. I read to you out of 2 Peter because I am blown away at the spiritual maturity of Peter that we read about in 1 and 2 Peter. When you look at the words he says, when you look at the message that he's given us, I have a hard time believing that it's the same Peter who cut off the soldier's ear in the Gospels, that it's the same Peter that denied Jesus three times, that it's the same Peter that once rebuked Jesus and then was called Satan by Jesus. I'm trying to figure this out. Like, how do you go from being, you know, immature teenage Peter, right? Spiritually immature Peter, temper Peter, issue-having Peter, and now we fast forward to 1 Peter and 2 Peter, and he's bringing these theological, deep thoughts. Like, what happened? What happened in that gap? And I came to this conclusion that we could go and look at Peter's interactions with Jesus throughout this time and pull the principles from those interactions and be able to say it was those interactions and it was those principles that led Peter to spiritual maturity. So if you and I want to grow in our spiritual maturity, we don't want to be the same person we were 20 years ago when we first came to church, right? We want to grow in our spiritual maturity. Let's learn these principles from Peter and apply them to our life. And so we talked, for example, one week about addressing the things that are deep down that we don't want to talk about because they hurt, and they hurt when we talk about them, and being able to reveal them and breaking through the wall. We talked one week about becoming unoffendable and how being able to forgive other people through the filter of our forgiveness. And then last week, we talked about obedience and being able to trust God and move and do what God is asking us to do. And today, I want to talk to you about what we believe. The most important decision, listen to me, the most important decision that you and I will ever make is deciding what we believe. You're going to make a lot of important decisions. Who you marry is an important decision. Whether or not you have kids, important decision. Where you choose to live, where you choose to work, where you choose to go to church, all of these are very important decisions. But there is no decision, not one decision, more important than what you choose to believe. And here's why. Because who or what you choose to believe in determines how you spend your life. It determines the quality of life that you live. And watch this, it determines where you spend eternity after that life is over. This is why this is so important, because it determines how you live the life that you're living, it determines the quality of that life that you are living, and then it determines what happens to you once that life that you're living is over. So according to the most recent research, it's somewhere in that 25 to 28% of Americans are agreeing that they are a part of what they're calling no religious affiliation. So 28% of Americans are saying they do not affiliate with a particular religion. This would be your atheists, your agnostics, those kind of things. But recently, there has been a new category that is rising, and watch this, now takes over majority of that 28%, and they are calling themselves nuns. Not N-U-N-S, all right? Not black and white outfit, not Sally Field. Okay, I'm talking about nuns, N-O-N-E-S. The reason they are labeled nuns is because they don't really know what to believe. Like, they're not hardcore enough, because a lot of these people have been raised up in church, or, you know, so they're not hardcore enough to say, I don't believe in God at all. They don't want to be labeled like, you know, an atheist. But they also don't believe in God enough to say that he's God and I should follow him. He's the Lord of my life. He saved me from my sins. So they find themselves kind of in this middle area. They're not hardcore against it, but they're also not for it. And so they're in this weird area that they can't really define. And what they're saying is this: I don't really know what I believe. And y'all, this is dangerous. And this is happening all around us. It's happening with our children. It's moving into our students. It's moving into our young adults who are out there trying to figure out life. And now you're even watching adults who have been going to church all their life. Notice I said going to church, not necessarily saved, going to church all their life. And now they're questioning it, and they're finding themselves in this middle area going, well, I'm not ready to say that, but also don't believe this. And so I don't really know what to believe. And this is important, because watch, if what we believe is the foundation of our life, and I believe it is, then when our beliefs are confused, our foundation is faulty. When what you believe determines how you live your life, the decisions you make, how you raise your kids, how you spend your money, if what you believe determines how you live this life, the quality of life you live, and how you spend eternity after this life, if that belief is mucky, if that belief is, then that foundation becomes faulty. And when life happens, everything crumbles apart. And so that's why Peter is teaching us this today, that in order for us to be able to grow spiritually and to grow in our spiritual maturity, you and I have to know what we believe. Now you say, how do I do that? How do I know what I believe? Because there's almost some irony there, right? Like, how can I know and believe? But watch what A.W. Tozer says. He says, what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into your mind when you think about God, when you think about Jesus, when you think about Christianity? What comes into your mind is the most important thing about you. You have to know what you believe. How do we do that? Let's go back to Matthew 16. If you got your Bibles, Matthew 16, we're going to start reading at verse 13. And y'all, this is one of the most impactful moments in Scripture, and most people have missed this over time. Watch this. All right, so verse 13, chapter 16, verse 13, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Jesus is asking his disciples, who does everybody think I am? Who is everybody, when they talk about me, when they think about Jesus, what are they saying? And watch the disciples say. They say, well, some people say that you're John the Baptist. Some people think that, you know, John the Baptist has been reincarnated, and that's who you are. That's what some people say. Oh, and then some people say you're Elijah, because we never really saw Elijah die, and so we think that maybe you're Elijah. Or some people think that you're Jeremiah, or at least one of the prophets. Some people think you're really smart. Some people think you're really nice. Some people think that you've got this incredible gift to hear God. These are all who people think you. And Jesus stops him. He says, but who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Not who do they say I am. Who do you say I am? Y'all, this is one of the most important questions you'll ever answer in your life. When it comes to Jesus Christ, who do you say he is? And here comes our boy Simon Peter. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's been so great about this series. I've always told y'all, Peter is us. You know what I mean? He's a little holy, and, you know, a little unhealthy. He's a little righteous. He's a little ratchet. You know what I mean? Like this is just who Peter is. And so Simon Peter answers up. He goes, you are the Messiah. You're the Savior of the world. You're the Messiah, and you're the Son of the living God. Everybody say that. Son of the living God. And then Jesus replies, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you. This is so important. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but it was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. Jesus says, hey, who do these people say I am? He says, well, some of them say you're a prophet, some of them say you're Elijah, some of them say that you're John the Baptist. And he goes, well, okay, but then who do you say I am? And Peter says, I say you're the Messiah, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, there it is. And you're blessed because you think that. But flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. My Father in heaven revealed it to you. Listen to me. Growing as a Christian in our present day culture requires for you to have a strong personal faith. Young person all the way to senior adult. Married, single, kids, no kids, college, high school, no matter where you are. In order for you to live in our present day culture, you have to have a strong personal faith. Strong and personal. It can't be my faith, it has to be your faith. And the reason why this is so important is because every day our life is changing. You may be in a good season right now, but you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what might happen 2 weeks from now, 2 years from now. So for us to deal with cultural change and belief change and people who are challenging things that we knew to be black and white our entire life, as the whole world is changing and shaping and turning into whatever culture wants it to be, you have to have a strong personal faith in the midst of it. Amen. Not one disciple followed Jesus because the Bible told them to. They were literally living the Bible. Not one disciple chose to follow Jesus because their church told them to. Most of the churches wanted to see Jesus killed. Not one disciple chose to follow Jesus because it was cool and comfortable. All right? Maybe it was at first. You know what I mean? At first, Jesus is turning water into wine. They're like, man, let's get turned up. Like, this is awesome, right? This is great. And then eventually, they're literally saying, crucify me upside down because I'm not worthy enough to be crucified like my Lord. They died for the gospel. So they did not follow Jesus because the Bible told them to. They didn't follow Jesus because their church told them to. They didn't follow Jesus because it was cool and comfortable. The only reason the disciples followed Jesus is because they believed him to be the Son of God. And when you believe that somebody is the Son of God, when you truly believe it, it has influence on the way you respond. It moves you to give everything, to surrender everything. The Bible said Peter left his net in the boat and left his father in the boat and stepped out and followed Jesus because he was the Son of God. Can I share with you one of my biggest hang-ups? Is I think the biggest misunderstanding in modern day Christianity is that we have focused way more attention on what people do than what they believe. Somebody starts attending a church or has interest in Jesus and we immediately start evaluating what they do. Well, if you don't do this, you can't have that. If you don't do this, you can't do that. The problem with that is what we do is dictated by what we believe. So before you can ever change what you do, you have to ask yourself, what do you believe? By believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that will influence what you do. But if you try to change what you do before you truly establish what you believe, there will be a certain time where something doesn't go your way and God doesn't answer the prayer you wanted him to answer and he doesn't do it in your timing, and that will challenge the fact because now you think you're doing it as a favor to him because it's not driven by what you believe. You're just trying to change what you do, but your belief hasn't changed. But when your belief is established, it has an influence on what you do. Before we had kids, Darla and I got the privilege to go to a missions trip in Belize. And it was really amazing. We would do service at night and preach. It was kind of like a pastor's conference for all the pastors in Belize, and we got to minister to their kids, their teenagers and students. And so we would preach at night. We would do small groups in the morning. And during the day, there were all these adventures that were already planned for us to kind of chaperone these kids. So it was honestly, I was like a vacation in the middle of the day, and then we would have service at night. And one of our trips, we were going to hike up this really big hill. I'm hesitant to call it a mountain, but it was a really big hill, and you get to the top of it. And the whole time we were carrying inflatable rings, you know, like the little float in the pool. And we get up there, and we throw it off, like, the hilltop into the water, jump into the water, get into the float, and float all the way down the river. That's what we were doing. But on the way up to the top of the hill, the guide that was from Belize, obviously, would stop and give us little highlights all the way up to kind of keep us entertained, because it's about a two-hour hike. And so there were all these different things. So one of the first things he took us to was he walked up to these two trees. And he said, you see this tree right here? And we're like, yeah. And he goes, this tree is poisonous. If you touch this tree, it can kill you. And we're like, what? Why would God do something? That's crazy. And he's like, and watch this. The tree right beside it, that's the antidote. He said, every time you see this poisonous tree, you can guarantee that right beside it, growing beside it, will be the antidote. Now, I don't have any clue if he was telling the truth, y'all. How would I know? You know, I'm not testing it. You know what I mean? I don't believe that much. I'm like, that's great, but you try it. You know what I mean? Just go for it. Show me. So that was a cool moment. And then we moved on to another area. We got to this area where, like, they kind of broke off some tree parts of trees, and you could see these bugs, and they were calling them termites. They were like, these are termites. I was like, cool, because I had never seen termites before. I'd heard about them, but I had never seen them. I was like, that's cool. And he's like, you can eat them. And y'all, there's part of me, I say 90% of me is pretty normal and cool. 10% of me is a little crazy. And there's just moments where I want to do something where I can be like, I did this. You know what I mean? I speak for a living, so it'd be fun to tell this story. And so when y'all are going like, this dude lives a crazy life, it's that 10%, y'all. It's just 10% crazy. And so when he says, like, I got to try it. So I grabbed one of them, and I ate it. And you didn't even know, like, you didn't taste it. You didn't have to crunch it. It was so small, you just swallowed it. And after I did it, all I could think was like, was that wise? Like, is this thing going to have babies in my stomach? You know, and like the fly just like, help me, you know, just start turning into something. Like, I don't know. But I did it because it was cool, you know. And then we go to the last one. And it's this big tree. And the guy walks up and he kind of hits it in this certain way. And out of it, y'all, comes climbing this tarantula spider. I mean, it is this big. And y'all, I'm scared of spiders this big. Like, when I get to heaven, there's two conversations Jesus and I are going to have. Why did you create snakes and spiders? There's no purpose in them. And those of you that figured it out, go on somewhere. They're just terrible, okay? And so I don't like spiders. I don't like little spiders. And this big, gigantic thing comes crawling out, right? And he scoops it up, and he puts it, and it starts crawling all over his chest. And it's coming around his back shoulder. And I'm like, ah! You know, just like, no. And all of a sudden, that 10% of me started twitching a little bit. It's like, come on. Wouldn't this be a great story? Like, Darla's there. You can impress her. You know what I mean? She don't even remember. And so I was like, I want to do it. So the guy gives me the spider, and the spider is crawling on me. And I'm telling y'all all to tell you this. I am eating termites, and I'm letting tarantula spiders crawl all over me. Watch this. Only because I trusted the guide. There was just some guy with us who I knew Belize better than me. And so because I believed in him, I was doing stuff I never thought I would do. Stuff that I still wouldn't do today. If y'all all wanted to go to Belize, I'm not doing it. You know what I mean? But in that moment, there was this weird kind of confidence and belief in this guy. And here's what I'm trying to tell you, is that when we believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, it has an influence on us. We do things, right? Come on. We do things we wouldn't normally do. We believe things we wouldn't normally believe. Why? Because he's the Son of God. If he's a prophet, then I'm not doing it. If he's just a wise person, then I'm not doing it. If he's just a nice, kind human being, I'm not doing it. But if he's the Son of the living God, then whatever he says, I'm doing it. Amen. We have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the second person of the Trinity, that he is God living and breathing and walking then as a human among humans. And when we believe that, we can put our trust in him and enter into a personal and eternal relationship with God. You have to know what you believe. You have to know the answer to this question. Who do you say Jesus is? Because if he's just a nice person, don't surrender your life to him. If he's just a prophet, don't surrender your life to him. If he's just a wise person, I know a lot of them, don't surrender your life to him. But if he's the Son of God, surrender everything. So you say, all right, Troy, you said I got to know what I believe. How can I believe it? How can I move to a place where my belief is strong that Jesus is the Son of God? How do I get to that place where I have a strong belief? Well, remember what Jesus told Peter. Jesus said to Peter, blessed are you because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. Listen to me. I cannot make you believe in Jesus. I can encourage you, and I surrender my life as your pastor. I'm giving my life to do the best I can to teach you, but I cannot make you believe. There's something that has to happen in you. It will not come from flesh and blood. Jesus said that my Father in heaven has revealed it to you. So I want to show you. I want to show you four things, four ways that I believe that this was revealed to Peter that I think is still operating for you and I. Number one is this, it's miracles. One of the first reasons why Peter's faith and belief in Jesus as the Son of God grew was because of the miracles he was performing. Peter saw these with his own eyes. Peter watched as he would take loaves of bread and feed thousands. Peter watched as he would tell men who were lame to stand up and pick up their mat. Peter watched as blind people would all of a sudden be able to see. Peter was watching with his own eyes miracles, none greater than the resurrection. Peter saw it with his own eyes. So Peter is seeing all of these miracles, and by witnessing these miracles, it's something that can build his belief. Does that make sense? Now listen, I still believe in miracles today. I think you and I are experiencing, and sometimes we experience big miracles. I've seen people healed. I've seen people, given some type of prophecy and it be fulfilled. I've seen these big miracles. But I also think we see little miracles every day. I'll be honest, it's a miracle we woke up today. It's a miracle you have a job. If you're married, that's a miracle. If you have kids, y'all, that's a miracle. And we can't just take these things for granted. We have to be able to see the big miracle, but also the small repetitive miracles of God and be able to allow those miracles to build our belief in Jesus as the Son of God. But watch this. It's not just the miracles we experience. You and I get to stand on the miracles Peter saw as well. Because those miracles are fact. There is scientific proof, scientific evidence, historical evidence that is bringing confidence and security in these miracles that Jesus did. So not only do you get to build your belief on the miracles that you're actually experiencing firsthand, but you get to build your belief on the miracle that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's incredible. When you stand on that belief, it builds the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. He resurrected from the grave. Second is the word. Now, once again, Peter is with Jesus, so Peter is experiencing these words firsthand. Everything that you and I read in the Bible that's in red, he actually got to see Jesus say it. But you and I get to stand. As much as Peter's faith was being built on the words of Jesus, you and I, our faith of Christ being the Son of the living God, is built by reading his word. You say, well, how can I trust his word? Everybody in our culture today is trying to denounce it, trying to say that it isn't truth. How can I stand on it? How can I believe it? Yeah, there's multiple reasons to believe the word of God. I'll give you just a couple. Is the unity of the word of God. That all of these different authors across all these different years, all these different countries and continents and all these different things, for the entire thing to line up, you can't get two people in the room to tell the same story. And the unity of the Bible, the fact, watch this, that the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation is centered on one center point, which is Jesus. The center point of the entire Bible is Jesus. The accuracy of the Bible. Here's one, the fulfilled prophecies of the Bible. Everything that Jesus said would be done up to this point has been done. And spoiler alert, everything that he said will be done, it's going to happen. So it's the accuracy of the word. It's the unity of the word. It's the fulfilled prophecy of the word. The word is the truth. I don't care what they say. It's the word of God. It is truth. And I can build my life on the word. I can build my belief that Jesus is the Son of God by the word. He said, I am the only way to the Father. It all comes through me. I give life. He is the Son of the living God. Amen? Amen. Next is the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I'm leaving. I've got to go to heaven, but I'm going to send somebody greater than me. The Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he said, the reason why he's greater than me is because he will be me with everybody at the same time. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will testify to us about Jesus. So on the day of Pentecost, Peter receives the Holy Spirit. The next time you see him, he's preaching with boldness and growing one of the largest churches there had ever been seen. Because the Holy Spirit is in him, and now he's building that boldness and that faith and that belief of Jesus being the Son of the living God from the Holy Spirit. You and I, the moment we accept Christ as our Savior, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. the accessories included. My men, remember when we were growing, or remember when we were young? I say growing up because some of us still do it. Don't judge. And we go buy action figures. They're action figures. Don't call them dolls. Like you get the Ninja Turtles, for example, and you'd have like Raphael, but in the package would be his size. Y'all remember that? Or you get Michelangelo, in the package would be his nunchucks. And when you open them up, y'all gonna play me like y'all didn't know this? And you could get him out, and you could get his little nunchucks, and you could put him in his little hands were formed like this. You could put him in his hands, and all of a sudden, it was included. Raphael is your salvation. The nunchucks, or the size, are the Holy Spirit. It's included. When you accept Christ as your Savior, in comes you, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit testifies to you the goodness of God and the realness of Christ, and it builds your belief that Jesus is the Son of God. And so by current miracles and biblical miracles, by his word that is alive like a two-edged sword that is piercing you heart and soul, that's speaking to you, that's fresh manna, and from the Holy Spirit that's dwelling inside of you, these things build your faith. That Jesus is the Son of God. Yes. Now, as your pastor, I wish I could say, this is enough. If you'll just stand on these three things, you're good. But I'd be lying to you, because in the end, at some point, you've got to have some faith. You use all of these things to encourage you. You use all these things to build boldness. You use all of these things as truth to stand on. But at the end of the day, you've got to have some faith, the faith, the faith of. Little George Michael reference. We got one who liked it. No, Jesus said that you are saved not by your works, but by your faith. This whole thing there has to be a point for you. There has to be a percentage of you that is just belief and faith. Where you're taking steps not knowing. Look, this is all great because they support it. And this is enough for me. And this is truth enough to give me boldness. But at some point, I have to have faith. I have to believe despite my circumstance, right? Because it's not by sight, it's by faith. I have to believe that he's the Son of the living God, even though he's not answering my prayers. I have to believe that he's the Son of the living God, even though that happened to me. At some point, I have to have faith and believe this. Now watch. I don't have it on the screen, but if those of you that are in your Bible, you're reading Matthew 16, those of you that don't have your Bible, read it when you get home. Once Peter says that, Jesus then says, I'm going to change your name from Simon to Peter. He says, you'll be known as Peter. Peter means the rock. And he says, and on this rock, I'm going to build my church. Now, I believe when he says that, the rock he's talking about is the truth that he is the Son of God. That's the rock he's going to build. We built this church on the truth that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And then he goes on to say, watch this, and anything that's bound in heaven, you'll be able to bound in earth. Anything that's released in heaven, freed in heaven, you'll be able to release on earth. And he's talking about change and impact and growth as a result of you believing that he's the Son of God. When you believe Jesus is the Son of God, you have better marriages. When you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, you have better finances. When you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, you have a better mental health, better physical health. You're a better parent. Because when you believe Jesus is the Son of God, it influences you. It impacts you. Something has to happen. Now, real quick. I'm going to go across. So I'm going to come over to you in a minute. Real quick. Do you believe that Peter changed? Do you believe that Peter changed? Some of y'all are nodding your head, some of you not. Do you believe that Peter changed? Thanks for full participation. Okay. Do you believe that Peter changed?
Yes.
Okay. Do you believe that Peter changed? Did y'all see how easily they did that? We all believe that Peter changed. I'm about to mess you up. You ready? Peter did not change because he wanted to change. This is what we're being taught. Especially in the church for some reason, that if you want to change, just try hard enough and you'll change. Peter didn't change because Peter wanted to change. There was nothing in Peter that wanted. Peter was good being Peter. He was cool being righteous and ratchet. That's Peter. Peter didn't want to change. But when you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, change is inevitable. It's inevitable. This is what I mean. When you believe it, it impacts your life. It impacts your decisions. It impacts everything that you do. And it begins to manifest in change. So listen to me, young man, young woman, married couple. Listen to me. You've been wanting to change, and you've been wondering why you can't change. And I would challenge you that it may be your belief. Because we can't do if we don't believe first. Listen, church. I got to think about how to relay this to you. Because it's my heart. Y'all have heard, most of you have heard my story. You know, you get saved. Well, I got invited to church at about 17 years old. Y'all, I had never heard of church. I had never heard of God. It was all new to me. I went because there were girls in basketball. And I get there, and it took a couple of weeks. I don't have this story where I walked in and as soon as I walked in the doors, the Spirit of God moved over me and I said, away with my bad life. And you know that stuff. Dude was preaching and I was trying to get her phone number. You know what I mean? Like it just, but I was around it long enough that the youth pastor's preaching and eventually the pastor's preaching and I'm hearing these things and I'm starting to be interested. And at some point, I begin to believe. And at some point, this belief that Jesus is the Son of God started to impact me and started to change me. Now I'm 39 years old. That was 22 years ago. And never once have I woken up one day and said, I want to change. I don't even know how I got here. But when you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you can't help but surrender. You can't help but naturally change. Listen to me, church. I can't keep doing what I've been doing if I believe he's the Son of God. I shared this with you last week, and I dwelt on it the next couple of days, and I was kind of shocked, but I was like, you know, I'm in Santa Monica with a friend of mine. What could have easily been considered a vacation. And y'all keep it. Y'all don't know 16-year-old Troy, all right? You don't need to. Not one thing of value. Hot mess. Mother-in-law didn't eat, said, nope, not him. Luckily, Darla hears from the Lord. Hallelujah. Y'all, at 16 years old, shoot, at 25 years old, spending time with Jesus wasn't a priority in my life. I get to Santa Monica and Hodge takes me to the YMCA. He's like, you ready to work out? I looked at him, I said, time out, man. Where am I going to pray? Because when you believe, it's all I can tell you is I just believe it. I believe he's the Son of the living God. I believe he's my salvation. I believe he's my help in time of need. I believe he's my rock. I believe he's my healer. I believe he's the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. I believe he's the Lord of my life and my resurrected King. And I can't believe that and it not impact what I do. Would you stand with me this morning? Oh, my challenge for you this morning is that you would ask yourself right now, what do I believe? Listen to me right now, if you're in this room, if Jesus was to ask you, who do you say I am, what would your answer be? Would it be, you're the Son of the living God? And would you mean it? Would it be, you know what, I honestly don't know. I want to believe, but I can't get past these issues and these mishaps and these confusions. Maybe you would say, I don't know what to believe. Spirit of God would tell you right now that if you ask Him to help you with your unbelief, He will. But the change on your life and the impact on your life begins with what you believe. And so here's what I want to do this morning. I want to give you an opportunity to start believing, to start trusting. So right now, just with your eyes closed in this place, between you and God in this moment, either you believe and right now just begin to tell Him. Just begin to say, Father, I believe. I believe You are the Son of the living God. I believe You are my Savior. I believe You are my helper, my healer. If you don't know what to believe right now, just say, would You help me with my unbelief? The Bible says you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved. Ask Him. Say, I need help with my unbelief. I need help with my unbelief. Oh, Father, truly, truly believing in You is what brings change in our life. Hey, I want to do something just for a moment. I feel a challenge. I feel a response charge. Now, here's what I'm going to ask. If you're in this place and you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, if you trust your life with Him, come down here. Just get out of your seat and come down. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, come. Let there be a moment of response. Let there be a moment of response, an action of response. Bible says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Come on, we're confessing right now in this place. Just movement. I don't care where you have to move, just move. Let there just be a moment of action, a moment where you are making a declaration that I believe, Father. Come on, hands up in the air. Let's worship Him right now. Just say, I believe, Father. I believe You are the Son of the living God, and my life is impacted and influenced by it. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship Him in this place, Jesus. I need You, Father. Come on, worship Him. I need You, Jesus. I need You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm not too strong to bow before You.
Hallelujah.
You say Your grace comes from the weak. So is this brokenness You're after?
Come on, tell Him.
I need You. I need You.
couple of different things. If you're in this room and you don't believe it, ask Jesus to help you with your unbelief. This is not a quick thing, y'all. This is a journey. I wish I could tell you that at 19 and a half, I was ready, let's go. But I'm telling you, those were some of the darkest years, just trying to learn and grow spiritually. And I haven't arrived, don't get me wrong. But every day I feel like that belief grows stronger. And it's all because of revelation from my Father in heaven. It's not because of flesh and blood. So a couple challenges to you. Number one, if you're in and you say, man, I really want to grow more, I want to get deeper in the scriptures, this purple book class that we're about to do, make time for it. Make time for it. Study those scriptures, learn those scriptures, that when you're saying things like, you know, I'm saved by faith, not by works, that you know where that's out in the scriptures. Nothing's going to grow that relationship quicker like studying the Word of God. Second, I would challenge you, student, married couple, young person, single person, whatever it might be, in your circle, whether it's your small group, whether it's your family, start having these discussions. Hey, what are some things that build your belief? Hey, why do you believe? I don't want us to be a people that are just doing something because other people do it. I want us to be confident about why we're doing it. And here's why. Because we are confident about why we do it, then when hardship comes, it will not falter. When all of a sudden the world turns upside down, we will stand firm in what we know and what we believe. Amen? So let's be passionate about it. Let's pursue it. Let's have those conversations. Let's go to discipleship class. Let's be hungry for the Word. Let's continue to establish what we believe. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't know what's coming. I don't know what's coming. But I do know the one thing that never changes, and it's Him and it's His Word. And if that's our foundation, then that foundation is never faulty. Amen? So my challenge to you as your pastor is pursue it, chase it, and at some point you're going to look back and you go, I don't know how I got here. It's grown in me. I'm more passionate about God than ever before. Because if you want, He's faithful to give it to you. Can I pray for you? Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for who You are. I thank You that You pursue us, as Kristen said earlier. That even when we don't know how to do it, when we don't have it figured out, Father, there's still growth happening. And that every one of us can see that transformation in our lives that we see right in front of us in Peter's. But I pray that You would help us with our belief. That You would show us the miracles. That You would give us Your Word. That the Holy Spirit would testify to who You are and to what You're doing in our life. And that we would have faith. And that we would know what we believe and build our families, our life, and our future on that belief. Come on, would you just lift your hands one last time? I'm sorry, I just want to pray this over you. Just say, Father, I want Your hand on every area of my life. Just begin to ask Him. Say, I want Your hand on my family. I want Your hand on my finances. I want Your hand on my career, Father, that You are the Son of the living God. It's who You are. It's who You are. So it influences and impacts area of my life. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we worship You. We worship You, Jesus, and we love You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, give Him praise in this place. Hallelujah. Come on, let's continue to worship. Hallelujah.